This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wounded Warrior Project is working to foster the most successful generation of veterans in our nation's history. One of the ways they do that is through adaptive sports. Veterans are some of the most resilient people on the planet. It's not about what you can't do after experiencing injury or illness. It's about tapping into what you can do. Learn more about how Wounded Warrior Project's adaptive sports programs are changing lives at www.woundedwarriorproject.org/sports.
This show is brought to you by K Jewelers. Listen up, NFL fans. K just dropped a collection of officially licensed NFL jewelry. Shop your favorite team in the True Fans Fine Jewelry Collection at K.com/truefans. Gear up for the season and celebrate the love of the game with K.
It's about to go. Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast, where we talk history of the game, numbers and stats. And each week we highlight a charity that's doing good. If you haven't subscribed yet, then you should, because I'm this the real deal. And you know I gotta shout out the Buffalo Bills. Turn it up to the max, sit back and relax. This the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. Let go.
Hey, what is up, Nerd Mafia? And welcome in to another episode of the Buffalo Nerd. For those of you watching, you are going to be able to see that I am joined again this week by another special guest. Pretty pumped about this one. A lot of it involves the charity. And then we're just going to really get to chat up a dude that's got a lot of football knowledge. And we're going to wander around the league quite a bit today for the first time. I feel like we're getting pretty close to football. So I kind of wanted to set like my feet in stone right now a little bit of where I think things are going to fall. That way I can come back and laugh at myself later when it's a total mistake, right? But this week, I'm joined by Scott Simpson. Before I shout out everything that Scott does, Scott, welcome in. Why don't you go ahead and take the floor here and let everybody know a little bit about yourself.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. I'm really excited to join you today, by the way. We had some snafus the other day, and yesterday my dog needed to be watched. So, oh my goodness, all that drama is behind us. We're getting to meet. So this is what I'm actually most excited about, is just talking football, getting to get together with another. It's a guy in this sense. Most of the time it's guys. Nothing wrong with the ladies. Love the ladies too. But talking football with the guys is like one of my favorite things to do. And to be able to do it in June, you know, way before the season starts, like, yeah, I'll do it any single day, any day in the whole year, 365. So this is cool. My name is Scott, and Nimble W Numbers on Twitter. And I have a show on Monday nights called The Fantasy Millionaires on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. And I have a show on Friday night, which is tonight, on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network called Chalk Block. So I'm primarily DFS and fantasy football focused. That's the angles that I go at. I love DFS. Last year, I won $5,000 in a second. I got second place in a GPP tournament that had 300,000 people in it. And so that's what I really, really love. But I love redraft fantasy too. So I'm an ex Washington football team fan from, I think I quit in 2014. So I just love the NFL. I love all the teams. I love all the players. I love getting into it. I love chopping it up, breaking it down. So thanks for having me on. Really excited.
Yeah, Scott, absolutely. And now we know that he's won money. We absolutely have to listen to everything that he says, right? So that's going to be good to have going on for us today. And I really like it because a lot of times when you get the guys that only don't really kind of hone in on one team, you know, we get a good perspective of everything that's going on around the league. And, you know, that's why I kind of wanted to sit down with you today. But before we get into all that stuff, like we do every week, we do like to shout out a charity, you know, each week and give them the opportunity each week that's chosen by the guests. So this week, Scott, he went ahead ahead and he chose the Hope for Henry Foundation, right? So very cool organization. Had an opportunity to check out everything they're up to. But Scott, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know kind of why you chose to highlight them and maybe tell us a little bit about them.
Thanks, Cole. I think it's really awesome, too, that you start your shows and you right away, you're finding a way to make it about other people and giving back to the community and helping everybody else. I got to say, off the break, I love that. That's awesome. So the charity that I'm representing is Hope for Henry, and it is a charity based here in the Washington, D.C. area where I live. There's a mother whose son passed away from leukemia about 20 years ago, and she dedicated her life just to helping other families who are going through the same problem that her she went through. So she developed a system of rewards and just as patients have to go to different treatments, it's hard getting needles and getting stuck. So she made this like kind of game where you get Henry bucks and you can earn rewards and earn prizes. And there's a goal to kind of get, your prize each time you go to one of your treatments. And so my daughter, London, who's 10, she was diagnosed with leukemia in 2020. And thankfully she's doing well. And she is, in remission and she's in treatment. And Hope for Henry has just been a lifeline for us and has encouraged us so much and helped us so much that we decided to give back. And my wife joined the board of parents who are on that board. And so our goal now is to help raise money for Hope for Henry and help other kids practically be cared for and loved like we were. And what's cool is that they buy presents for them all the time. So you can go to Hope for Henry and sign up and, go to Amazon and buy kids presents. So what they want, a kid will say, I want this. This will make me happy while I'm in treatment, while I'm in the hospital. And you can go buy it for them. You can go get it for them. It gets directly sent right to them. And then they feel like $1 million because they're going through something hard and somebody cared for them. So I loved it. And I was able to be cared for. And my daughter was able to be cared for. And so I just wanted to be able to pay it forward and really focus on those families who need support, who are facing that struggle.
Awesome. That's kind of what I was mentioning at the top there that, I was kind of excited about the charity of this one because I do know Scott's backstory before we met a little bit here about what was going on with his daughter and stuff. And, so it's very cool. I see she's back out there kicking butt, in the pool and stuff like that, where she belongs and where she wants to be. So it's very cool. And there are tons of organizations out there, right? And there's a lot of them we never even hear about, right? Like, that there's things happening around us all the time. So that's partially what this is all about. We want to highlight organizations that we don't necessarily know about and learn something, new. So very cool, Scott. Thanks so much. I appreciate the personal touch, also that you can talk about what's going on. I mean, that's a big struggle to go through. And I remember going to high school with a gal in the fifth grade in my class that had, to battle with cancer. That's a lot as you're trying to come up as a young gal in the world and fit in and do school and do everything else. And then on top of that, you're going to the hospital and this, that, and the other. So it's a big stress for everybody. So that's where cool foundations like this come in. They swoop you up. Even if it's just for a day to help out, get you that, that one day that makes you feel better. That's what this is all about. So, we'll have all the notes, the show notes will have all the information to get over to their website. Super easy to go on there and donate. Like you talked about, you can get somebody a present and have it sent to them tomorrow. Right. I mean, like that's really cool stuff. So thanks a lot, Scott.
No. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to share it. I love it. And it's just, like I said before, it's so encouraging to be able to, work with people to help other people. I mean, that's the goal of humans is to come together and use the collective will and our power and our resources to help people who are in need. And so I love that that's a focus of your podcast. It's really cool. And when you shared it originally, I was just like, boom, this is awesome. So thanks for just having that other's focus in your mindset. So it's awesome.
Yeah, man. Love it. Thank you for saying those things too. Cause that's kind of what this is all about. I kind of think it's learning through the game, right? But we can learn different things through the game, whether it's about organizations doing awesome things that we never met, knew before, or if it's a stat or, it can come in many different ways. So that's what I wanted to do with this. So let's move into some football stuff. And I know both of you and I believe are both in the Scott Fish Bowl, right? In some of the best balls coming up. Right. So I want to pick your brain a little bit here and just kind of hear, what's your best ball strategy? I know you've done a ton of these already. I'm in a couple groups with you and things where they're almost a daily requirement, I think, it seems like at times. So how does Scott approach a best ball draft?
So the first thing that I think about is kind of how I'm going to attack the first two rounds. And it depends on how other people attack them. Honestly, I can go in and go, I want these guys and I get them, or I go in and I want these guys and they're taken. So I try to be kind of fluid and I want to have in the first two rounds, I want to have a solid running back, an RB1. I have to have an RB1. I'm not doing zero RB in these drafts just because, I mean, not that you can't be contrarian, but I think you're going to have somebody who's going to be a stud to compete with the other guys who have a stud. Yeah, everyone's going to have to have one stud RB at least. So first round, I get a stud, or second round, I get a stud, depending on where it is. A lot of times I'll get two running backs. And then that's different from redraft. Redraft, I will go maybe wide receiver, running back, you know, or maybe wide receiver, depends. But best ball, I'm kind of going to hammer those running backs early just because I don't want to, and they might get hurt. So I might have to get, you know, some of my other running backs later might have to fill in too, but I don't want to kind of lose out on either, you know, Alvin Kamara, Saquon, Nick Chubb, Austin Eckler, all those guys in the first round. I really do like them. I think the only person I'm taking in the first round will be Kelsey, other than a running back in best ball.
So, say you're like in the later half there, you know, like 10, 11, 12, and maybe those, you know, those top five, six running backs aren't there. Are you still going to really go after the running back there? Or are you going to try to maybe shift your focus and that's where your Kelsey comes in maybe, and then flip around for next best guy you can get at running back, something like that?
Yeah, so I have a hierarchy of who, once I get to pass Nick Chubb, if Nick Chubb, you know, I'll take Kelsey after Chubb. That's my rule. He always gets taken before Nick Chubb anyway, so which is fine. But if he makes it past Nick Chubb, I will take him. But I'm always taking Nick Chubb in the first later part of the rounds. Him and Austin Eckler are my two backs I'm trying to get in that 11, 12 turn. Those are the two that I want in that area. I think Nick Chubb has top five RB potential this year, and I think so does Austin Eckler. And so Austin Eckler because of PPR, and then Nick Chubb just because of his you know, ability to break tackles, you know, his rushing average, the amount of work, the volume he's going to get. So for me, I like both of those guys. And if I can't get them, then yeah, I might pivot to Diggs, or I might pivot to someone else. Not that I don't like Diggs, but Diggs also is being drafted at the very top of his value. Last year, he was being drafted in the fourth round, fifth round, sixth round. That's when I loved Diggs the most. That's when I got as much as I could, particularly in Dynasty. But now at that second, not that I don't like it, but if I'm going to do Diggs in the second round, that means I'm going to get Josh Allen in the fourth round. Like, this is what I have to do. I don't want to have one of the best players in the NFL and then not have another best player in the NFL who's going to kind of marry them. So stacking is also something that is a popular strategy in best ball that I try to do between two and three quarterbacks each time we get in there and do a draft, depending on how strong those quarterbacks are. So if I can get somebody like Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, I'm not going to draft any other quarterbacks. Or if I can get, you know, maybe not Aaron Rodgers is a bad example, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson. If I can get two stud quarterbacks, then I can just attack wide receiver and running back. So if I'm going to go with those wide receivers, it's almost like I'm going to try to get those quarterbacks too. So when I select my first round wide receiver, my second round, wide receiver too, I'm thinking about the quarterbacks. And you don't always have to stack, but it's nice when you can get Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen, or if you can get DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson. Those are just stacks that I've just seen consistently throughout in that, you know, 5-6 range, you know, Russell Wilson getting picked after DK's been picked in the third or the second. So I think stacking is really important too, because if, in those games, like last year, if you had week 16, if you had Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, you had 70 points, 75 points. They went off. They had, I think Diggs had two touchdowns over 100 yards, Josh Allen over 30 points. So those big games, you need that. You're chasing upside in best ball. That's what you want each week.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the stack because I noticed a lot of people like to do it. Do you always do it top heavy, or do you sometimes okay with doing it in the back end? Like, I've been messing around a little bit with doing some like Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson like stuff real late to see if it just happens to hit for a week, you know, like Fitzpatrick with like, a Damari Brown or something like that later on just to see. You ever go back there and do the same thing?
You know, I started doing that after I read something about, I think it was Hayden Wink. Somebody had a little graph and just a little correlation graph. And at the end, it just showed that there was a value in getting those later round, maybe wide receiver twos or wide receiver threes that match up with quarterbacks, because it's not always going to be the stud that goes off. So if you can get, Gabe Davis, for example, in the 10th round, you know, Stephon Diggs, obviously the wide receiver one in Buffalo, but Gabe Davis had some games last year where he balled out. He's a man. That's that's a grown ass man, as we like to say. So I love him. I'm picking him, you know, in almost all of my stacks with Josh Allen. I'm going to have him there in the 10th or 11th round if I can get him. And it's also a good way to get cheaper stacks too, because if you're picking up some of these lesser known wide receivers and the, you know, wide receiver two, wide receiver threes on teams, for example, you know, not a wide receiver three at the end of the season, but right now kind of being looked at as, you know, that is my guy, Elijah Moore. He's going to be the wide receiver one by the end of the season. I know it. He's being drafted, you know, the Jets, they got Crowder, they got Mims, and then he's being drafted as a wide receiver one, but they're all in that 10, 11, 12, 13 range. No one really knows what to do with them. I love that, because those kind of cheaper values or those teams that suck, let's just say the Jets suck. So people go, oh, their players are going to suck. Man, there's such a great opportunity to get that garbage time. And Elijah Moore, somebody who I'm going to try to get in every single best ball team I have across the board. I love him. I watched his highlights today and I just fell asleep dreaming of Lane Kiffin's clipboard being thrown up in the air 30 feet. So you don't have to stack late, but it does give you an advantage when those wide receiver ones are not the targets in the game that you know, week 17, week 16, you just never know what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. That's the other piece of, especially, I know everybody's been adding, you know, how we're going to have this extra game this year. I almost feel like it just means it's going to be an extra game where most of the studs aren't going to play unless the league is really tight, right? Like which it should be. I do anticipate the AFC to be pretty challenging throughout the entire season. So some of these guys might have to play for playoff berths and things of that nature, but I keep adding that extra game. Like it's guaranteed to put those points in, right? But it's not necessarily going to be there. So that's cool though. Cause I feel like the best ball stuff was pretty new to me this year. You know, so it was like kind of one of those things where it was a learning thing. Cause I'm a big running back guy. I always want to go running back. I feel like that's the only way that you do this. I don't like, it's so hard for me to fathom any other way. So it's cool to hear that, like when some people align with that idea, but I really had to open my eyes to being willing to take that number one wide receiver early. Right. And just being like, well, that is what it is now. But a couple of guys you did mention, like Chubb, I do like guys like that. And people forget Eckler just not two seasons ago was like the top fantasy running back, you know, for a while there. So and he's in a great offense. So I agree. So you kind of mentioned a little bit earlier that you do a little bit different with redraft, but what would be your main shift when you're approaching redraft from a best ball? Are you going to definitely hit the running backs heavy? You know, where are you moving? What's going to be your outlook as you're approaching one?
I would say that in redraft, I'm more fluid. I'm more prone to take a wide receiver. So last year in my big money league, my first pick, but I had two big money leagues, like 250 buck leagues entries. I took Michael Thomas and I took Devontae Adams. So Michael Thomas was a bust. You know, he had a terrible season. It ruined my team. I didn't win. But Devontae Adams was awesome. And then my second round pick was Austin Eckler. He got hurt, but I got fourth place or a third place, I think, in my league. And so I used to be afraid to take those wide receivers, but last year Devontae Adams to me was the wide receiver one. I talked about it all summer. I said, this is the guy you want. And so at least I got him in one of my leagues and he was a stud. So this year, I don't think Devontae Adams is that same player, and it's hard to pick like who is going to be it right now with wide receiver. I can't say I know who's going to be the wide receiver one. I think people thought it was going to be AJ Brown until Julio was traded there. And then I think that kind of pulled that back. There's a lot of different players who could. I know people are talking about Terry McLaurin could be one. Shocker. You know who could be one? Michael Thomas could be one, guys. He's getting drafted in the middle of the third round. And so if you're doing your strategy, Colt, and you walk away from the, you know, the first round and you've got, you know, let's say Alvin Kamara, Antonio Gibson, well, you could, you know, maybe you don't want to stack all of the Saints, but okay, let's change up. Let's say you have Zeke, Antonio Gibson. You can get Michael Thomas as your wide receiver one in you know, most drafts right now. That's awesome. That's incredible. So maybe you can wait on wide receiver in drafts because some of these values are being shoved down the board because of what happened last year.
Right. And I mean, obviously it has to do with how you're scoring and everything like that. My philosophy with the running backs has always just been that they get hurt more often. So it's like, you feel like you need them. Right. And I don't really like the handcuff approach because I don't know that that necessarily exists anymore in the league with so many teams having kind of two back setups and everything like that. But I do feel like in redraft now I've changed to where I'm a lot more open to doing things that I never would have done. And people are sleeping on some offenses that I don't think they should be sleeping on just because of, we don't have that typical, like, hey, it's Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, so Michael Thomas is going to be number one. We don't know for sure if Aaron Rodgers is going to play with Devontae Adams, so you can't say he's the number one, right? So it really truly is. I mean, could it be Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert? I mean, that's very possible. Maybe it's Tyreek again, you know, just because he's in the same system, right? So tell me one or two little things, though, for sure, that you would absolutely tell somebody, make sure you don't do this in a draft because it's not going to help you in any way.
So one thing I'd avoid, it's a feeling that you get. It's a feeling of missing out or FOMO or of not having or scarcity resources, kind of losing. So when you see runs going and tight end, boom, 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 or running back, you know, first round, yeah, it's just a running back run. But in other rounds, when you kind of see that value slipping away from a position, and so you reach on a guy, you don't have him where he's at, but I can't wait to come back. I'll get a worse guy later. I got to get this guy now. It's the worst thing you can do, because what happens is you're forfeiting points in that position. You're saying, I'm going to reach for this running back or whoever this is, because I need to make sure I don't lose out on it. And what's really happening is you're picking like the bottom of the barrel instead of the top of a different barrel. So instead of looking at, let's say, whatever it is, if it's running back, that's a run, or a wide receiver run, look at another position group. You might be able to find value. So if you're looking at second round and all these running backs are going and you're like, dang it, I really need that. I need a second running back. Well, maybe you need Darren Waller instead in that position, because he's going to be such a great value at the tight end. And then coming back in the third round, get Chris Carson, and then you're okay. But if you reach for Chris Carson in the second, you're missing out. Excuse me. You're missing out. There's points you're leaving on the board because you're worried about a player or a position not being substantial enough for you. So I think chase the value. That's what you should do. And don't load up on 9 wide receivers if you only start 2 in your league, but look for that value and where it's going to be as the snake draft moves throughout. Players just fall to you, and maybe you don't want 3 tight ends on your team. That's fine. Then adjust. You weren't going to get Waller. Now you got Waller. So you don't pick any tight ends. You have no more tight ends. You have to worry about the rest of the draft. Just get the rest of your wide receivers and your running backs.
Right. So it sounds to me like you kind of tier base. You're a tier kind of guy when you're drafting.
Yeah, I do. And I also have my tiers. They're opportunity based. So what I'm thinking about is how much volume you're going to get, how much opportunity you're going to get in this offense. And so it can shift. If I see I already have a player from that offense, I'm not going to get another player. I'm not going to double stack wide receivers on a team necessarily, unless there's a value in doing it, like Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. It's later in the round. I'm not going to take Mike Evans and then Chris Godwin back to back. This is not going to be helpful for me. Even if I'm a Bucs fan and Tom Brady's a beast, you're not going to get all those points to your wide receiver every week. So you can stack, you can go on teams, but I think that's the difference in best ball. Is in best ball, I'll take Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen. I wouldn't do that in redraft. I'd take maybe one or two of those guys, but I'm not going to like team stack as hard.
Right. Yeah, because obviously in the best ball, you're buying into the offense saying that one of these two guys is probably going to hit every week for me. Right. As long as Josh Allen does. Right. So very cool. So let's transition a little bit. We're going to keep doing fantasy because that's what you do. But I want to kind of walk through the divisions here a little bit and kind of talk out where we think they're going to fall. I figure it's towards the end of June here. We got kind of a good look at where everybody's at. We're going to be getting ready to go into the preseason. I think it's kind of a good time to set the floor of where we think everybody is, so we can come back and laugh, a little later on when we get it all wrong or whatever.
Of course.
Right. So let's start with the NFC North, because I think this one is very up in the air for me. I'll kind of just tell you where I'm at, and then you can come in and let me know what you think. And then if you want to follow it up with like one guy in the division that you think's like the fantasy guy you should be trying to get, that's not necessarily maybe that big time guy that everybody knows. Cool.
Yes, I love it.
All right, cool. So for me, it's all hinged on if Aaron Rodgers plays for Green Bay or not, right? Obviously. So right now, I don't think he is going to play. So I'm going to base it off of him not playing, and I'm going Minnesota, Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit.
I like that. Yeah, Detroit, by the way, they might not win a game this year. No offense, Dan Campbell eating kneecaps and wearing racing car helmets. Good for you, bro. But yeah, they're not very good. I think it's the same for me, just swapping Chicago and Minnesota. I think Green Bay is third for me if Aaron Rodgers does not play, just because not that LaFleur isn't a good coach, but when you have Aaron Rodgers, that makes you much more fluid in what you can do with your offense and just gives you so much more options. So, not that Jordan Love isn't going to be a good passing quarterback, but man, Aaron Rodgers and the intangibles they give him like 3 or 4 wins, just him knowing what to do. My favorite gif last year during football season was the one where Aaron Rodgers was at the line of scrimmage and he looks over at a safety and he smirks. He's just like, and then he hikes the ball and he's not doing it for anybody but himself. Like he sees what's going to happen. And he's like, oh, these guys, man, they don't know what they're doing. touchdown to Devontae Adams right away. So, yeah, that's just a game changer. The reason I picked the Bears, though, is because Dave Kluge made me do this. And no, I'm kidding. Dave did not make me say this. The reason I picked the Bears is I actually think Justin Fields is going to play. I think he's going to play more than people think he's going to play. I know Chris Sims ranked him as 39th out of all the quarterbacks, out of 40 quarterbacks this year. I don't endorse that. I think Justin Fields gives them a chance on the ground just to have a different offense. I don't trust Matt Nagy at all. He's terrible. Especially play calling, he's not very good. His points per game whenever he plays, calls plays, goes way down compared to when he has other offensive coordinators call the play. But that notwithstanding, I do think that their defense is going to be rebounding. It's going to get a little stronger than it was last year. I'm hoping that happens. As I say that, I'm also thinking about how they've lost all their cornerbacks. So maybe that's a, maybe, no, I'm going Minnesota. I've shifted in my own mind as I thought about it. Yeah, it has to be Minnesota, but their defense is terrible. Listen, this is going to be a wild division. I just know that lots of points are going to be scored. And so I will be targeting all these teams somewhat in different fantasy levels. I think the player that I want the most, and this is out of the whole division, right? We're talking not like one team. Yeah. Okay. So the player I want the most, I mean, it's Justin Jefferson for me. I love him so much. And I know he's expensive, but I think that's the guy this year, especially with Devontae Adams not being, if Rodgers plays, then yeah. I mean, Adams is just a stud. 17 touchdowns. And look like last year, Aaron Rodgers was trying to get him 20 touchdowns. So if that happens again, I'm in on him. But I love Justin Jefferson. 1,400 yards as a rookie. I mean, and the gritty. I mean, it's a lot of excitement. And, he's somebody who, if you are going to be building your team around, he's not a terrible wide receiver one at all to have. But if you can miss your wide receiver two, if you're in the first half of a draft, you might be able to go, CMC or Saquon, Metcalf, and then Justin Jefferson. Oh my gosh. If you can get him as your wide receiver too.
Absolutely. And see, everything that you mentioned is pretty much what I align with. It hinges on if Green Bay, if Aaron Rodgers plays, they go back up to one in my mind. It was between the defenses for me, between Chicago and Minnesota. I do think that Chicago has the better defense, but their offense I can't buy into as much as I could buy into Minnesota's offense right now. And I think that Minnesota's defense is going to step up this year. So that's why I went that route. I do think they are, with Cousins and Jefferson and Thielen in the backfield, they're a guaranteed offense, I think, right now. And I think that gives them the edge. Let's shift over to the NFC East, because nobody really knows who's going to win it. They don't know if they even care to win it. It's every year. It's a toss up. Right now, I have Washington football team, Dallas, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I have right now Washington football team, Dallas, the Eagles, and then the Giants. And the reason I have that, I just want to be perfectly clear, is because I don't think Joe Judge and Jason Garrett know what they're doing. I just don't. I mean, Jason Garrett's never known what he's doing. If you want a mediocre 500 season, then yeah, Jason Garrett is your guy. Way to go. He's not good at calling plays, and he did not help Daniel Jones last year. Daniel Jones regressed last year under his tutelage. So I just think that that's just not going to work out, and it's not anybody's fault necessarily. I think Daniel Jones has an opportunity to improve, but given Jason Garrett, that's like a handcuff. That's like playing with like your leg tied to your other leg. It's just not going to be beneficial. So I don't see them, even with Saquon coming back, being healthy, I don't see them being effective this year. So that's right. But the Washington football team, the reason I like them for number one is because of Chase Young. That's it. That guy had two touchdowns returned last year where he just strip sacked and took it to the house, or somebody else took it to the house. That is a game changer. When you're on defense and you can turn the ball over and score points, it just demoralizes the opposition. And so the Washington football team's defense last year, they were unheralded to start the season. So we'll see if they can kind of beat, now that they're heralded, if they can live up to that charge. But I think they can, because that defensive front four is just going to get after the quarterback, and having Chase Young anchor it. And they have Montez Sweat. They've got Jonathan Allen. They've just got a bunch of huge bros down there, a bunch of Alabama boys, a bunch of, SEC gangsters. So I like them. The person I want this year the most is Terry McLaurin. I think Terry McLaurin just has a great opportunity. He's being drafted as a wide receiver at the end of the wide receiver one train at the wide receiver 12 right now. I think he's got opportunity to be wide receiver six. So that type of opportunity that he's going to get with a gunslinger in Fitzpatrick, or if Heinicke wins the job and if Fitzpatrick sucks, you have somebody who's going to throw the football. And I know that Riverboat Ron has regressed in his riverboating and he's less, you know, captaining these days and he's more just kind of chill. But you saw it last year with Heinicke when he came into the playoff game against the Bucks. I mean, they almost beat the Super Bowl champs. They were, in that game, that was the best, closest game that the Bucks played. So I do think Washington has that opportunity to kind of defensively stick in every single game. And then when you got McLaurin, Curtis Samuel's over there, Antonio Gibson's over there, and Logan Thomas emerged, I just think they have the all-around best team. And I say that begrudgingly because I don't like Dan Snyder. I don't like the Washington football team, but I do think they're better than the other teams in the division.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same reason I select them. I think their defense is the reason that they win it, because absolutely Dallas is going to have an offense. I just can't buy into their defense right now. And if I'm going to pick out of who's going to withstand and win that, I think that I'm going to go with Washington's defense. And I'll take Fitzpatrick slinging it around to McLaurin and these other guys, because I believe it's going to be a huge opportunity. I think if he plays the entire season, I'm not like out of the question he could be a top 10 quarterback, right, with who he's got around him and everything like that. He's got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. So I agree with that 100%. NFC South, I'm curious about where you land on this one, because I feel like everybody wants to just say it's Tampa Bay's again, right? Because they've brought everybody back, this, that, and the other. I actually have it as New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Atlanta. How about you?
So I have it. I do have Tampa Bay first. I have Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta, and then Carolina. So I put Carolina down at the bottom. Sorry, Jordan Vanek. Don't roast me. I don't believe in Sam Darnold yet. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I just don't. Out of the three quarterbacks, well, I mean, Jameis Winston. But Tom Brady and Matt Ryan are the two best quarterbacks in that division. Pretty easy to see right off the break. You got a Super Bowl champion, 7-time winner in Tom Brady, and then you got Matt Ryan, who almost won one against Tom Brady. So those are just the two best quarterbacks. And so I kind of put them out front. I don't know what Arthur Smith's going to do with the Falcons and how it's going to look completely. So I can't project them above the Saints. I mean, the Saints just trounced them last year. So I love what's going to happen in this division, because there's unknown. There's no Drew Brees. It's going to be kind of up in the air. If there's one player I could take from this division, it's Kyle Pitts. I mean, I know everyone's saying that, but I watched something recently where McVay said if Kyle Pitts doesn't have 1,600 yards, then Arthur Smith isn't doing it right. And he said this to Arthur Smith. So, I think he's such a weapon in that offense. And tight end, you've got Kelsey, you've got Waller, you've got Kittle, Hockenson, and to me, Kyle Pitts right there. He's the top five tight end. So I'm going to play him. I'm going to put him in all. I'm going to draft him. If I can get him in the fifth round or fourth round of my home leagues, I'll take him every time.
I like it. So for me, it was a little bit of like same thing Tampa Bay did last year. It's not that I don't think they'll be there, but they kind of just slept through the season a little bit, right? And then when the playoffs got there, they turned it on. And I think the Saints offensively are still going to be a very productive team, and they have a good defense still. So that's kind of where I'm edging with them right now. I think we're going to be a little surprised about with what they come up with. And for me, I put Carolina over Atlanta because of defenses, and I have a little belief left in Sam Darnold that this is actually a better, much better situation for him to potentially throw the ball around, and really have some success with some good wide receivers and an excellent, excellent running back behind him. Right.
Yep.
So let's shift to the NFC West, because this is the division that everybody always says is the best in the NFC. Right. Right now I have it as Rams, San Fran, Seattle, Arizona.
Ooh, I like that. You're putting the zonas on the bottom. That's ballsy there. I'm going to say the Rams as number one, too. I just think that McVay with Matthew Stafford, and the Rams are much better than they were with Jared Goff. It's a huge, huge upgrade. And I don't think people understand what a difference it's going to be. And so that's another player, by the way, who I've been targeting in most of my best ball teams. Like he is my number one quarterback. Fitzpatrick's my number two. So I'm looking for the slingers. I want the gunslingers. I want the guys who just get the ball down field. And I agree with you on the Rams. I think they're going to win the division this year. Here's the thing. I love what Seattle did offensively, with their team, but they didn't do anything on their line. They didn't draft any offensive line. They didn't solidify and get a first round pick to keep Russell Wilson upright. So I'm worried about them. Their defense was atrocious. Their corners last year were the worst in football. They were just giving up touchdowns and long drives all the time. You could throw touchdowns on them. You could do short passes, long passes, intermediate passes. Didn't matter what it was. And eventually, Seattle, you understood how to bracket DK Metcalf, and they stopped their offense. So I'm worried about Seattle's offense just because it fizzled last year. So I don't have them as number two. I have them as number three. I have San Fran as number two. I think they're going to come back as well. And I'm not going to talk crash about Jimmy G, because Jimmy G, professional quarterback, good looking man. I don't think he's going to end the season as the quarterback. I think by week five, he'll be gone, and not gone, but he will not be starting. And so I can't wait to see what Trey Lance does, and the modern influx of young quarterbacks. The NFL is going to be so much fun to watch this year.
Yeah. Do you have one player over there you really like?
Yeah, you know, the player that I like coming back this year is Kittle. So Kittle is somebody who, you know, when he actually is featured, he's a monster. And there's just, you know, he's not featured enough, though. That's the problem for me in that offense. So I'm hoping that with a consistent quarterback, and they go Trey Lance, and they're going to stick with it, they figure out who they are, and then from there on, they can just kind of go. And so I know Kittle is in the second round, but if I can get him in the third round, if he kind of shifts a little bit to the third round, that's where I want to take him. But I do like Kittle this year, and he's a good bounce back player at tight end for sure.
Yeah, I love Kittle too. I just have a hard time with him because of the quarterback situation, right? It, not knowing, and I know that Shanahan wants to run like a madman. So it's like it's a little weird for me, but he always finds a way to be the guy, right? I just feel like Debo Samuel is going to be I think he's going to take more this year than he has in the past. And that, I think that's going to hurt a little bit, but I love Kittle too. But let's shift over to the AFC. Would you say right now they're easily the AFC is better than the NFC overall, top to bottom?
Yeah, I would say the top teams are. I think, you know, and this thing, I didn't think the Bucs were going to win the Super Bowl last year. I thought the Chiefs were going to just smoke them like they did in the regular season. So that kind of surprised me. And I'm not going to say it's a one offer, but I think there was a really good defensive scheme that was used. And I think that the Bucs learned from their mistakes in that first game they played against them on week 10 or 12, where it was. And right. And they applied that to the Super Bowl. So, but I do think the AFC is better. I think the Bills are better than most teams in the NFC. I think the Chiefs are better than most teams. I mean, the Ravens, there's just a lot of good teams that are top to bottom just better, I think, particularly with the quarterbacks. I think the quarterback, you know, we had a quarterback NFC heavy. It's shifting with Drew Brees retiring and just kind of people falling off, new quarterbacks going into the AFC. The AFC, like the young, good looking, strong, you know, Josh Allen type quarterback. You got Zach Wilson in the AFC East. I'm not there yet, but yeah, there's just a lot of young talent I see on the AFC that I really, really like. So yeah, I'm an AFC guy when it comes to who I think is going to win, but I was wrong last year. Like you said, at the beginning of the show, we're going to be wrong. I can't wait until everyone, cold takes or old takes or like, you know,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Your shitty takes that you said before, and then they post them and then everyone laughs at you. This will be that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think what's happening too is just like the AFC was down for so long, right? The NFC was better, but now the AFC, all the young quarterbacks are now in years 3, 4, 5, you know, and they're turning out to be good, or at least competitive, right? And they've got good teams built around them. So let's start out with the AFC North, because this is an interesting one to me, because I think a lot of people love Baltimore. I'm not as high on them, but for right now, I would say it's Cleveland, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh is down there at the bottom, by the way. They just got rid of DeCastro yesterday, which, I mean, maybe he's got an injury we don't know about, or there's like a fatal flaw in him that the Pittsburgh doesn't want to pay him for. I don't know, but I do think Pittsburgh does finish last. I think they're 13-0 last year. I don't know how many they're going to win this year, but I bet you it's under 10. So I think they lose at least 5 wins from last year. I don't think they're going to be very effective. I saw a picture of Big Ben yesterday. He's already wrapped up. He's just wrapped up in all his whole body's wrapped up already. It's practice. He's even been hit by anybody yet. So I'd be surprised if he ends the season upright and being the Steelers quarterback. He didn't the year before. And then last year he barely did. So I was surprised that he came back. Honestly, I thought he should retire and it would have been better for him to retire. His body. He's old. And by the way, I'm not going to throw shade on him. This is what he shared before. He used to just be a huge drinker. He used to be a partier. He just did. You know, he's kind of reformed his ways and he's not that way anymore, but his face looks like he's been drinking beers just like me. I've been drinking beers too, Ben. So we look the same.
Right. I agree. And I think that's part of it for me too, is that I feel like they're just trending way down. I think Cleveland's got to have a better defense this year. And Baltimore for me is just a little bit behind in the defensive side of it. That's my only concern.
Yeah. I think it's going to come down, but it's Cleveland and Baltimore for me. It's a coin flip. Here's the thing, Baker Mayfield, I still am not sold on him. I mean, I know he did a good job last year down the stretch, but I need to see what he can do the whole season before I just go, they're going to win. I think Lamar Jackson's better than Baker Mayfield, so I'm going to give the slight edge to Baltimore. But I mean, in an injury here, something happens to one or two players, and I'm, you know, on offense or defense, you lose a cornerback, you lose a safety, and those little edges are lost. So, but I do think Cincinnati is down there at the bottom. They're fighting it out with the Steelers for who's the worst team in the division.
All right, so let's keep on moving here over to the AFC West. This for me is this is a weird one because I feel like the Chiefs, you know, they didn't really lose much. You know, I'm a little interested in what they do with their offensive line during the offseason. So for me right now, I've actually got it Chargers, Chiefs, Denver, then Raiders. Where do you stand?
So I think I missed the first part. Who do you have as the winning the division?
Number one, I have the Chargers. Chargers, Chiefs.
Ooh, I like that. So I still have the Chiefs winning the division. I have it Chiefs, Chargers, and then the Raiders. I don't know what to do with them. They start the season, they play well, you know, they win the games they're supposed to win. They go into New York and then they, you know, they beat the Jets on a last second touchdown, but then they just lose like the last half of the season. They just tank it. And so I don't know what to do. Like, when I think about them, I really don't know what to do with them. You know, it could be that this year that they rebound and then they're third in the division, or it could be that they're the bottom of the division. I'm not sure. Derek Carr is somebody I'm not sold on, but I'll tell you who I am sold on is Darren Waller. That guy, that's the guy from this division. I know that you've got a lot of great players in here, but it's about positional value. And I think Darren Waller creates it. I think him and Kelsey are very similar. I know Kelsey gets more targets, gets more yards, but that positional value that you can get at tight end. And if you want to go Kelsey Waller to start your draft and just ruin everybody in your league and take all the tight ends, and you know, you got enough acumen to pick up those late round wide receivers and running backs for value, that's not a terrible strategy either, because those are both like the two best tight ends in football. But I just love Darren Waller. I think last year he breaks out. I think he ups his game this year, and he has a great chance to end the season as tight end one. So that's the guy that I like this year, even though I don't love Derek Carr. It's more about John Gruden, honestly. I don't know what he's doing with play calling, how he's running it. He had a great line last year, and they got rid of the line, and then he brought in, you know, Kenyon Drake. I mean, why? You have Josh Jacobs. You don't need Kenyon Drake. That's not necessary. You could spend that money somewhere else. So as an organization, I just don't trust them. I mean, and that's kind of what everyone thinks, but that's the answer. I just don't have much faith in them.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I put them down at the bottom, for the same exact reasons. They seem like they're competent and Gruden's supposed to be this great coach. I'm just not seeing it transition onto the field. And I feel like Denver's probably got a little bit better of a defense. I don't know that offensively they're going to be great, but they have good wide receivers. They've got a good running back. So they have things that should be good. But like you said, I mean, it's tough to judge that division. And the only reason I don't have the Chiefs at the top right now is because it's very hard to stay there, right? Yeah. I think it's harder to stay up there than it is for the Chargers to just go and get it. And they've got a really good football team too. So AFC South next. Before the trade, I thought this division was going to be a little bit different, but now that Julio's with Tennessee, I got to go Tennessee as the winner. Indy, Jacksonville, Texans.
Yeah, the Texans. Oh my gosh, they are not going to win a game this year. I already know that. They're terrible. So yeah, that's a good call on the Texans. This is tricky for me because I never have faith in Indianapolis. Like, I don't. And last year with Rivers, maybe just because it was old man Rivers, I just didn't have any faith with them. And I like, you know, their coach. I think Frank Reich, great guy, great coach. You know, got Carson Wentz. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm still iffy on the Colts. I know they have a good defense. I know they're a solid squad. But Carson Wentz, he needs to show me that he isn't who he was last year. And maybe that's just Philly. Maybe it's just situation. Maybe it's context. Maybe he comes out and he's an MVP. Carson Wentz, but I can't trust in him yet, but I can trust in Derrick Henry. That guy is the truth. And he had 378 carries last year and he did not get hurt. He did not break down. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of players in this division that are just, they're flashy. AJ Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry. I mean, those guys right there, JT's here. You got a lot of good players. And then, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars are loaded up with talent. You know, James Robinson last year, LaVisca, you know, they drafted ETN. So I think this division is going to have a lot of scoring because the defenses are pretty poor across the board. The defenses, except for the Colts, are pretty poor. So I think I'm going to go Tennessee. slightly over the Colts. I think it's one of those things where it's like 1A and 1B, and they're right there neck and neck the whole time. And then the Jaguars and Houston are just, you know, 0-4, 1-4, 2-5, 1-5, 0-5, whatever it is. And they're the fodder for the division.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, it's not that I don't like Jacksonville right now or anything. I just feel like this division has kind of a clear separation until we see what Trevor Lawrence can do and, you know, see what can happen before I'm going to move them up towards Tennessee and Indianapolis at this point. I feel like they're the clear cut. They're going to win it unless one of them just falls off a cliff. Right. But so now let's move to the greatest football division ever,
ever,
the AFC East. Right. So for me, obviously, right now, I have it as the Bills, followed by the Patriots, Dolphins, Jets.
So right now I have it Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. Jets last, of course. I'm concerned with Cam Newton just in general. I think this year is going to be a transition year from Cam to Mac. We'll see how that goes. By the way, Mac Jones, he's like 12. He came out and said that his nickname from Cam Newton is Mac and Cheese. And I was just like, man, God, these guys are so young. I'm so old. I would never tell anybody that my name was Mac and Cheese like he did. That's embarrassing there. Sorry about that. You know, Mac Jones. But Bill Belichick, I think this is what I saw last year was desperation. I've never seen this before from Bill Belichick. He emptied his nuclear cabinet of money. He just like, you're a tight end one, you're a tight end one, you're a wide receiver one, I'm getting you. So I think it's desperation, honestly, and it doesn't to me translate into going to be a winning season for him. I know Bill Belichick's the GOAT at coaching, but I think his players are not very good. His defense is going to be better than his offense for sure this year. Getting some players back from the COVID-19 protocol last year, where they kind of just, you know, decided not to have the season for them. I think they'll be better on defense, but I like Miami. Tua is a big play quarterback, and I don't think he's effective overall as a quarterback, but he's a big play quarterback. He's got big play weapons now. He's got Waddle. He's got Fuller. These guys are built for big plays. And so he's a better, this is not my line either. This is Jordan Vanek's line. He's great at throwing to people who are wide open. That's what he's good at. He doesn't like forcing balls in. He's not a Fitzpatrick guy who's like, I got Parker and triple coverage. Let's throw this MF-er, you know? So I think that the Dolphins will be better this year as an offense. I don't think maybe their record's better, but I think that they'll be more effective with Tua. They'll have him the whole season. So I think that they're going to edge out the Patriots. And I think the reason is because Flores knows, he came from Bill Belichick. He knows Bill Belichick, and he's always able to kind of get, not in his head, but when you're going up against somebody like that, you care so much. It's like playing your dad in a video game. Like, you just have to beat him. You can't let your dad beat you, you know? And so I think that they're going to be the second team this year, and then the Patriots third. And then, of course, you know, the Jets are going to be the Jets, and they're going to be last. But I'll say this, my guy from this division who I love the most, I'll give you two the most. Number one is Elijah Moore. And that's just because of his profile, what he did in college. He was just an amazing receiver for Ole Miss. I went through, like I said, watched his highlights today. Just got so excited. I love him. You can get him in the 10th, 11th round of your redrafts. That's a great, great value. My second favorite player is Gabe Davis. Oh my gosh. Gabe Davis is poised this year, I feel like, to break out. I don't know what's going to happen with Cole Beasley. You know, he's threatening retirement if they're going to have the protocols kind of be this stringent. I don't think he retires, but I do think by the end of the season, Gabe Davis, clear wide receiver two on the team. No offense to old man Emmanuel Sanders. I think he's good. He's real good, but I just like Gabe Davis a lot. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. He's going to run more downfield routes. He's going to be your red zone target. He's somebody you're going to want to have the ball in his hands. He's a man. He's a big, strong man. And he's a prototypical wide receiver. And not that Emmanuel Sanders isn't, but Emmanuel Sanders is a second wide receiver. He's not a wide receiver one. Gabe Davis is built in the model of a wide receiver one. And since there's already one on the team with Diggs, I feel like he's going to be more the wide receiver two. But if you have that option, you can't have two big, huge players and expect the corners to all cover everybody and be able to be on man-to-man on these guys. They're going to get open. And Gabe Davis on those one-on-one contested catch, I want him. I love him. He's big. He's strong. He's powerful. So him and Moore are two players I'm targeting late in drafts in all my redraft teams. I want to walk away with both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because also even if, you know, we're talking about it a little bit earlier, right, is even though the Jets were both predicting them to be terrible, they're probably going to be in games where they're going to have to play from behind, which means he's going to get garbage points, which he could end up being huge weeks for you. Even if he's never wins a game in the NFL, he could end up winning you all sorts of games in fantasy, right? So, I mean, that you have to view it like that sometimes, as saying that the bad offense is actually the best offense at some point in the game, right? And their best player at least is going to get the work, you know, because right. At some point it's give it to him. him and hope to God that it works. Right. So, but I think we kind of, we answered the question a little bit of who you believe the number two is behind Diggs to own on the team, right? It's Gabe Davis. I think I kind of agree with that. The only thing holding that back right now is Cole Beasley and seeing what happens with that. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if he does decide to step away for some reason, you know, then that it's going to be an interesting opportunity for Gabe Davis to immediately shoot up the charts, and some other guys behind him magically are going to become, I mean, you're talking about 100 targets that are going to need to go somewhere, right? So Cole Beasley is really good at what he does. So I hope he plays, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, he's also getting up there in age too. So if he doesn't and somebody has to step in and we have to move forward, then that's what we'll have to do. So let me ask you real quick before we move into the nerding out session. So you got the Bills. Do you think that they're going to be in the AFC Championship again this year?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. I think Josh Allen, what he did last year, what was so remarkable about it, I know that Diggs was a big part of it, but his completion percentage was subpar. It was down. He put it up in the 70s. He was at 56. Was it 56 his first year? A terrible passing percentage. You need to catch the football, throw the football. That's just like a basic tenet of the game. And for him to improve that much, the work he did in the offseason last year, you know, I watched him when he lost to the Texans. He fumbled the ball. The moment overcame him a couple years ago in the playoffs. He didn't look like he was ready. Last year, he looked like a different quarterback. He looked like a man, looked like he was ready. So I do think he continues that ascent. And I mean, he was the number one fantasy scoring player last year across the board. He was the number one. So I love him this year. I don't know if he's going to repeat as number one because you have Lamar Jackson, you've got Mahomes, you got a lot of other great quarterbacks up there, but his scrambling ability, his ability to rush the football, to throw the ball just so far downfield, gives him an advantage. And if they keep the pass percentage up, the pass run ratio up the same as it was last year, which I don't think there's anything they need to do to change it. They were successful. I really do love him, and he's got a great chance to be that quarterback one again. The only thing I don't know about, and this is, you know, you might be able to know more about this, is what they're going to do with the running back situation. And they weren't very effective last year running the football, and they didn't really, it seemed like, have a plan to run the football because they were so focused on throwing the football and they did such a good job. But I don't know how that's going to work out this year. I'd like to kind of see them develop some type of system or plan to attack so that they can use the two different systems to benefit each other. I mean, that's really what you're using. You're using your run game to set up your pass game to get the people off balance so you can run it down the throat. So I think that with another year under their belt, they will be successful. And right now, the Bills are my, and I hate to say this, they're my Super Bowl pick to win it all. I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show either. I think that their defense is what really puts them over the top. And so I love the Bills this year, and I'll be targeting them in my drafts and then also be rooting for them because, you know, here's how I feel. I don't like big winners like the Patriots who've won 9 million championships. I'm always rooting for the underdog. And when the underdog finally asserts itself and they're the best, I don't hate on them anymore. I want them to continue to be good. And I want Bill Belichick to continue to be bad. So sorry if you're a Pats fan there. Jeff Greenwood, shout out. Love you, brother. But no more New England. I'm tired of you guys. You guys got to stop talking.
Yeah, no, I think it's fun too, because it's reaching the point, right, where we're getting to that point where it's going to be a changing of the guard, I think, in the Super Bowl. We're going to start seeing different teams that are up there every year, because there are a lot of teams right now that I think are capable of being there. There's a good 6 or 7 teams, I would say, right now could potentially be in the Super Bowl this year, you know, from either side and making it happen that haven't been there in the past few years, which is really exciting stuff. So, but let's move over into the nerding out session, kind of get off of a football train a little bit, even though all of your answers can be football related. That's perfectly fine. First question up is, do you have like a favorite book, Scott? You know, anything, you know, sport related, whatever, favorite book you'd recommend to everybody?
So here's the thing. Unfortunately, because I'm in Maryland, we're not legally allowed to gamble yet. They passed the amendment, and then it's in the state constitution, but they haven't actually actionized it yet. So I don't know yet. I don't know who my favorite book is yet. I use William Hill when I go to West Virginia, because William Hill was the book that was there in West Virginia. So that was the one I had to deal with. I don't mind DraftKings, honestly. I don't know who puts the stuff behind DraftKings, but I can't wait to use them when this year, because if Maryland processes it, you can get on that side of the app too. I like what DraftKings does. I like their lines. It's easy for me to find my DFS stuff in DraftKings, and then also the gambling in DraftKings are both together. So that's the book I'll probably be using. But then if you can find some good lines some places, you know, I know there's different optimizers that just show you all of the different lines across, you know, every book. Those are cool tools too, because then you can look for your edges and go, oh, I don't want that half point. Oh, this book has no half point, so I'm going to go for that one. So right now I'm a sports book free agent too. If anybody wants to sign me or me to rep your sports book, I will definitely do that, because I love gambling. I love gambling.
Right. And you can mess around a little bit on Underdog now too, right? They do a little bit of rival and pick 'em stuff. That's pretty fun to get into as well. So it's very cool.
I saw somebody win $400 the other day on like a $20 bet or whatever it was. And they picked three or four teams and they won $400. So I love it. It's an end around too, because it's not technically gambling on Underdog. You're parlaying, you're doing games of skill. There is no betting on Underdog, which is really cool. And you can do it legally. You can do those games of skill. So do go check out Underdog and use promo code Nibble, and I'll get paid a little bit. And then I can use some of that money to give to my family so they can stop bothering me.
Right. Or you can give it back to the book.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, I do that. I give it back to Bomek big time, who's my writer, DFS extraordinaire. He beats me in DFS regularly. So I just kind of, all the money I win, I pay to him.
Just give it over to him immediately. Right. Mm-hmm. So tell me, Scott, what do you love about the game?
Oh man, so many things I love about the game. I'll say the first thing I love about the game is executing a plan. So going in, looking at the other team's weaknesses, strengths, and developing an actual, like, these plays are going to effectively work against this defense. And so I was that nerdy kid who, when you're on the playground, you're playing football, you know, as a kid, some a-hole takes out note cards. He's like, look at this play. This is the play we're going to run. You're going to crack down here on a crack back block on the left side. That's going to free up the tight end to release, go out in the flat. The hook and ladder begin. And people are like, dude, Scott, we're just going to run the ball, or we're just going to throw the ball. So I love that. Like when I see Sean McVay calling plays, or it's just like last year when Flores and the Dolphins did that little, they did a little, I think the Rams did it too. The little hat, they did a little pass to the tight end, and then he flipped it, the hook and ladder, and they scored like a 2-point conversion. Like that kind of stuff just gets me so excited. I love it. And then also the physicality, being able to use your will on another man and to force him to do what you want and to crush him, particularly in the line. Whenever I can see like a offensive or defensive lineman manning another person, oh man, like I would always love it when Madden would be like, hey, look right in here, you got the crack back block, you got this, and you got a big hole in him. I love that. Like that just gets me going. And of course, touchdowns. Yeah, effing mm-hmm. touchdowns. I just, man, touchdowns. I remember last year I had 9 touchdowns in the first half of a game, or of like I was playing DFS or whatever it was. And my player scored 9 touchdowns. I won a couple $100. And I was like, this is it. Touchdowns. That's all I care about is touchdowns. Right. So I think that's the biggest thing I love is touchdowns.
Love it. So when you're hanging out at home, whatever, you got a podcast you listen to?
Ew, man, it's a lot of podcasts I listen to. I'll tell you my favorite podcast though, all time, is Living the Stream with JJ Zacharyson and Denny Carter. There's just a mix of fantasy football, but then also their personality. And so you kind of get, the deets on what players you should pick, the data behind it. But then you also get just guys being guys, just talking about silly things. And I'm a big fan of JJ and Denny. And so being able to know them and meet them as friends and then listen to their podcast, it's pretty cool. So I think that's my favorite all time, because it's not only football. If we're talking only football, like just like talking for an hour and a half about football, I like Rotobond Pete Davidson's DFS podcast every week at the, it's like a Saturday podcast, Sunday morning podcast he drops, where he just does a slate walk and talks for like an hour and a half about every game, every player, what he's thinking. And he just goes through it by himself. And so last year I used him to help me win that 5K that I won in week 2. It was not just me being smart. I listened to Pete Davidson talk about Jordan Reed as a great buy down tight end. And so really any practical podcast, fantasy points podcasts, you know, you got Graham Barfield, Dr. John Proctor, Scott Barrett. I listen to them every week. And so any type of DFS strategy, player related podcast I can gleam a little morsel of and steal a little sliver to put into my lineup, that's what I'm always looking for every week.
Love it. That's awesome. I'm going to start checking those ones out. There's a couple of them I haven't heard yet. So very cool. All right. So let me ask you, Scott, do you have one play or just like one thing or one player or something that just sticks with you? You're just like, man, you just can't get over it. It's a flag, you know, a player in a season that you were so high on and he was just a major letdown. What do you got?
You know, I was thinking about this and the worst play call flag, they're kind of, you know, something goes wrong, right? Where you expect something to happen, it doesn't happen, you're disappointed. And I think the thing that disappointed me the most last year out of the whole season was the fourth down in the NFC Championship game when LaFleur did not go for it at the end. That angered me. I could not believe it. You're in this position. You've got a couple minutes left in the game. You've got the world's greatest quarterback here and you're kicking an effing field goal. That stuck with me. And like in the house with a bunch of guys are watching the game and it's a COVID protocol for me back then. We're all masked up and I'm just cursing through my mask like a sailor and I'm just screaming at the TV before they even do it. As soon as third down ends, I'm like, you better effing go for this. You better. Oh my God. I'm just like screaming. And my friends are like, Scott, calm down. I'm like, no, you don't understand. The whole season comes down to this and they're going to F it up. So I think that stuck with me from last year and I'm still bitter. And so is Aaron Rodgers, by the way. So I feel like I'm right. In good company.
Yeah, I was going to say that might stick with LaFleur for a while. If he loses that game and then loses Rodgers this year, he might be losing a job no matter how smart everybody thinks he is. So yeah. As we're closing out here, Scott, you got anything that you want to shout out? Anything you're working on? Anything you're up to that you need everybody to know about?
Oh, man, that's great. I appreciate that. So I'm doing lots of different things, unfortunately. Fortunately, my wife thinks it's unfortunate. But right now I'm working as a content creator for the Guilty as Charged podcast network. It's a San Diego. Sorry, not San Diego. Where am I? LA. I've been a football fan since I was five. It's hard to unlearn the Chargers being in San Diego since I've, 37 years of it, whatever it was. So, but the LA Chargers, I'm doing a podcast for them each week where it's a fantasy based podcast. I've been doing best ball drafts, breaking down ADP, looking at the Chargers, how their value is going to be this year. Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, are they going to regress? Are they going to, is the Joe Lombardi infusion going to help them? So I do that. Also, I work for myself over at nimblewnumbers.com. Nothing going on there right now, but DFS will be there all season long with my writer, Bo McBigtime. And then I am writing right now an article about breakout wide receivers, rookie wide receivers for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I previously published an article about rookie breakout running backs. So check that out. Go to Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can read all about it. I liked Najee Harris before a little better than I do now. So I definitely had him as a breakout candidate. I'm not sure. It didn't change completely with DeCastro leaving, but it does worry me a little bit about their offensive line. So those are just some of the things that I'm doing. And I'll be on Twitter. I'm on Twitter all the time at NimbleWNumbers, bothering people, offending people because I don't like their teams, all kinds of good stuff,
I love it. So basically you're a little bit everywhere. You're doing a lot of different things because you love the game and you're spitting good knowledge is what I'm gathering. So we'll make sure Yeah. All right. I like it. We're going to have everything linked in the show notes so you guys can check everything that Scott's doing, find out everything, his podcast, Fantasy Millionaires, all that kind of stuff will be in there so you guys can connect with him on all those different levels. Thanks again for being here again this week, everybody. Scott, thanks for joining me. We wouldn't have a show if there wasn't people listening and watching, so can't do it without you guys. Love you guys. Be safe out there. Make sure everything for the nerd you can find over at thebuffalonerd.com. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
You just listen to the Buffalo Nerd Sports Podcast. Make sure you leave a review and subscribe so you never miss another episode. We'll see you next time. Leg out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.